Okay, and welcome to Fright Night Open Lines. Before the break here, let's go back to our West of the Rockies line and finish that incredible cat story. Hi there. Now, let's pick up. So you're holding, the cat has died, you've buried Mocha, and now he comes back, and you're holding him up in the air. Go ahead.
Right. And the neighbors had run across the street because they were all working in their yard. And I was holding him up in the air, screaming, "Mokey lives." And they all came over because they really thought something was wrong. And the kids came running out of the house. My wife came running out. And it was just total confusion. And I was the one that was sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you know, what have I done? What's going on? Because my mind flashed back to that stupid movie I had seen, you know, Pet Cemetery.
Sure.
And my wife was looking at me like, you know, what have you done? And what's going on? The kids are happy. Is this cat really alive? And my neighbors were looking at me like I was Gomez from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Well, I had to quit de-weeding my flower bed. And the kids, they took Mokey in the house, and Mokey was just fine. I mean, there was no...
And you're sure it was Mokey, right?
Well, let me tell you the rest of the story.
Okay, I'm jumping ahead here.
Right. The kids were excited. The neighbors were looking at me like, you know, why would you do something like that? And I said, well, he was dead. And anyhow, they eventually just kind of, you know, tucked their heads under and said, well, you know, we'll talk to you maybe never again. And I pulled my wife aside and I said, Sandy, I said, I've got to do something. She said, what? I said, I've got to go back over to the desert. I've got to dig up that little shallow grave.
Oh.
I said, something's wrong here. So later on in the day, after, you know, I told the kids I had to go to the store.
Yeah.
I got in my truck and I drove down the alley so none of the neighbors could actually see me going to the desert area.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my shovel and I pulled up to that area, which we had had a few other cats buried. And I walked over to that week and a half old grave and I had to dig it up. I had to find out for myself what's going on here. Well, I dug it up, George, and sure enough, there was a cat in that grave. So apparently what I had done, well, I had to push the dirt away from the fur, pull it out, and that was a horrible thing for me to do. And then when I looked at it again real closely, I realized that I had buried the wrong cat.
Oh!
I mean, the cat that I buried had truly been hit on the road that I spoke of earlier. But he looked so much like Mokey, and I knew Mokey because he was almost 3 years old. He was a gray Angoran, and that was the reason it kind of freaked me out, because in the movie, the cat that they buried, he looked a lot like Mokey, and that's why my mind flashed back. But when I picked that cat up a week and a half later, and, you know, it wasn't in prime condition, brushed the fur away, and I said, oh, my God, you know. I honestly, in my heart, thought that I was burying my own cat.
That's like some widow being asked to identify her dead husband, and she shows up and goes, that's not him. And then he walks in from behind her. That's
so
a great story.
It was a perfect human mistake, and I didn't share it with the kids until years later.
But let me tell you something. What a great relief on a very strange story, wasn't it?
And now we look back, and it's funny, you know. Yeah, Dad buried our cat. He came back to life, but he buried the wrong cat. And now we use it as a story, but it actually happened. And, you know, the whole nuance of the whole thing was because I saw that stupid movie.
Fright Night Fridays continues in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, Saturday night before you go to bed, turn your clock back 1 hour. Those of you who are in the daylight saving time arena, and off you go. And you know, next year, 2007, daylight saving time will start earlier and end later. So it'll be starting the second Sunday in March and then lasts until the first Sunday in November. But if you're like me, I always set my clocks back or ahead depending on the switch. When I go out, let's say on a Saturday night, I do that before I go out. I change my watches and my car and the microwave oven. I think I have these little obsessions. But anyway, turn your clocks back 1 hour to take effect at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, so it's always easier to do it Saturday night. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'll say one thing first. The guy from Pennsylvania that had the Bigfoot incident, he's lucky he didn't have it down here. The ones down here are just mean, it seems like.
That would have torn him apart, huh?
Well, I don't know what it is about the ones that are on the Red River, but they're not nice. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about an incident I had with a Ouija board.
All right.
My cousin had gotten into black magic pretty heavily, and she was using this Ouija board that she had had made. It was actually a handmade Ouija board.
Exactly.
So, she had had a lot of bad stuff happen, and she had actually attempted suicide. And while she was in the hospital, I was going through, went to her house, and I decided to destroy it. Well, me being not the brightest person in the world at that time about supernatural things, decides, okay, well, driving a sword through a vampire's heart works pretty good. I guess it might work on a Ouija board.
I don't know.
Well, I go over to the local Catholic church, get a little vial of holy water, get my sword, which really, truthfully, George, it was basically a three-foot steak knife that I picked up at a flea market.
A three-foot steak knife?
That's the best description I could use for it.
What do they do, barbecue the entire cow, and you use that knife for that?
It's Texas.
Yeah, it's Texas. That's true. Go ahead.
Well, I poured the holy water on the sword and stabbed it through the middle of the Ouija board. Well, the Ouija board caught on fire.
Wait a minute. It catches on fire, and you don't bring any flames to the party here, right?
No. No flames. I didn't bring anything to burn it with. I just thought, okay, I'll just, you know, break it apart. Well, it starts burning, and I didn't stick around. I ran. And to this day, I still go by where the place where she was living at the time. There's still a patch on the ground where that burned at that to this day has not grown any grass. And that was 10 years ago.
What an incredible story. You stumbled into something, my friend.
Well, I wish I hadn't stumbled into it, because since that time, I've had strange things happen to me from that point on.
Good things or bad things?
Well, I would say bad. See, now at this time in my life, I'm a security guard, and I see some of the strangest things out here at night.
You think the Ouija board had something to do with it?
I think I pissed something off.
Well, sounds like you opened up a portal to something, and out it came. First time caller line. Hello there. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Talking to me?
Yes, sir. Talking to you.
All right. My name is Eric. I'm calling out of Texas.
Hey, Eric.
I got this one story I'd like to tell you. Happened to me about 10 years ago or so it started. I got married and everything was going good, you know. We got our own little apartment, me and my wife. And then I started having these nightmares. I mean, these real bad nightmares. I mean, there was demons in my dreams trying to kill me, like all kinds of stuff.
And it happened all the time?
Yeah, it started happening every night. I couldn't sleep at all.
Yeah.
I'd wake up all the time. I'd be in like in a cold sweat. I'd have the chills. And I'd tell my wife about it, but she thought, you know, it was nothing really. And then it started getting worse. I started getting sick and started vomiting a lot. And then I would see things and hear voices, you know, all the time. I would hear things, like, talking to me, and I would see things. Like, one time I saw my wife. I swear to God, she was, like, angry with me, like, yelling at me at the top of her lungs. And I told her, what's wrong with you? Why are you yelling at me? And she looked at me. She said, what? I haven't even said anything to you. I haven't spoken one word at all. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm seeing things, then something's wrong. So I was getting sicker and sicker by the day. I wasn't eating, you know, losing weight. And I went to the grocery store with my wife one day. She said, get outside, maybe it's the air, do you some good or something. So I went to the store with her, and we went through this aisle where they have, like, religious candles. You ever see those, like the ones that have pictures of?
Sure have. Yeah.
I saw one that caught my attention. It was the Archangel St. Michael. And for some reason, something was telling me, you know, get this candle. So I got the candle. I took it home. I lit it up. I said the prayer, you know, and as the candle burned, the nightmare started going away. Everything started to seem better. I started to eat. I wasn't hearing these voices anymore. By the time the candle burnt out, I was back to normal. Everything was okay. You know, I wasn't hearing anything.
So it worked. It worked for you.
It was working. It worked pretty good. And then about 4 years after that, my wife and I were messing around with a tape recorder, so we tried to do an EVP.
Okay.
She asked a question, she said, I want to ask you some questions or something. We played it back. It sounded like something responded back to her. It sounded like something said okay or something like that, but we couldn't really tell.
Were you in a special area or just sitting at home?
No, we're just sitting at the house.
Okay.
And then about 2 weeks after that, I was asleep alone in my room. My wife and my kids, they were in the living room. They fell asleep watching a movie or whatever. So I was by myself in my room asleep. When I felt something step on the edge of my bed, I looked up. I saw the indent, like 2 feet standing over me, like, you know, pressed into the mattress.
Pressed down, sure.
And I tried to get up, and something pushed me down. And I couldn't move. And the more I tried to move, the harder it held me down. And then I felt like something was, like, kicking me or punching me or something into my ribs repeatedly, over and over and over. And I was screaming. Nobody could hear me. Like, nobody woke up. Screaming and screaming. And finally, it let me go. I jumped out of bed. I ran out the room. I woke up my wife, scared. I was shivering cold. I had tears in my eyes, basically, because I didn't know what was going on. And I was telling her, something happened to me. She said, what? I explained to her, and she didn't really, well, I guess she believed me because, well, by the way I looked, you know, basically, it was like, we live in Texas, it's hot down here, it's a good 90 degrees most of the year. I was there shivering cold like I was up in North Wisconsin or something.
You probably look like a ghost, Eric.
So then I had a necklace of the Archangel St. Michael. She gave it to me. I held it, and I started praying. And slowly by that night, I didn't sleep the rest of the night.
Well, it sounds like it works for you, so you might as well just keep doing it. There's a belief system there that really works. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Yeah, this is Roy. I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Roy.
Yeah, we listen to you on 1190 here.
KEX, the monster. Did you happen to come out to the book signing when I was there a few weeks ago? Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I found out about it a day late.
Oh, we had a wonderful time, and the people in Portland are just so gracious. They really are.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed here. I get this story to tell you. I've been listening to you now for close to 6 years, I guess, and I've wanted to call many times and tell you about this. It's about the freakiest thing that ever happened to me in my life. But this is back in 1968, and I had gone out on a date with a couple other people, and we had a couple of 12-packs of beer, decided we was going to go outside of town and park, and was looking for a really cool place. And there's this one hangout everybody goes to, and it's way out in the middle of the country, and it's surrounded by cornfields, and it's an old two-story house. It's creepy as you can think anyway, and even in the daytime. And the bridge that takes you into the place is so decrepit that you have to park your car and walk across. And it was a place everybody called Elizabeth's Grave, because they had a little eucalyptus grove out there where there was a family plot, 8-10 people buried there. But anyway, we'd gotten out of the car, we parked the car, and we're walking across the bridge. And of course, naturally, the girls are a little scared, and they're kind of freaked out, and we're enjoying that too, you know, because, you know, we get a little bit more attention. But anyway, as we get closer to this little area where we're going to sit down at, all sudden, you could hear this rustling in the cornfield, and it just a blur went by us, just like running as fast. You can't even imagine how fast. Now, this is in the end of summer, and this guy's wearing a trench coat. And when I look back on it, I think about this movie that I had seen. I can't remember the name of it, but it was, Jeepers Creepers, I believe it was. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The guy's like I'm not sure if he's a demon or some kind of a whatever. I'm not even sure what he was, a grave robber. But anyway, to make a long story short, we walked over to the grave, and the grave had been opened up. It was dug all the way down to the casket. Now, we're all freaking out. We got to get back to the car. We get over this creepy old bridge, get back in the car. My buddy's freaking out. He's tearing up the corn patch. We're going down the road. By the time we get to the asphalt, my girlfriend, she starts beating on me, and she goes, "How could you do something like that?" And I'm going, "What do you mean do something like that?" She goes, "I know that was one of your friends out there." I said, "Are you out of your mind?" I said, I don't know anybody I could pay enough money to come out here and do something that weird. But anyway, it was pretty freaky to us. And the girls had to report it to the police and everything else. They went out there, and somebody had tried to rob the grave.
Oh, you know what? You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but you're lucked out.
I guarantee you.
Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My name's Aaron. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, I'll tell you my story. Escaped death accidentally. I was asleep in bed, and I had a girlfriend whose family did not want me to be with her. And I lived on a street that was on a main highway, so I had made a banner that professed my love and hung it up outside on my bedroom window.
That's a touch of class. I like that.
Well, you know, I'm a romantic. And so anyhow, when I wake up from my, being asleep, the sun's in my eyes. I notice right away the blanket's gone. My window's open. My bedroom's ransacked. And she calls me later on that afternoon to see if I was okay. I ask her what's going on. I tell her what happened to me, and she said that she knew that her brother and a few of his friends had come into my house. They were going to do bodily harm to me.
Oh, my God.
They had weapons. They wanted to hurt me, but they couldn't find me. They said I was not there, so they took off.
But you were.
I know. I was asleep in bed.
Somebody was protecting you.
They said that I was. There was nothing there.
Why did they hate you so much?
Because I was with this gal, and they didn't want me to be with her. And we ended up, she got pregnant. We were both 15. It was a story like that. We were runaways a couple of times, but they were willing to do anything, even cause me bodily harm to
deter
our
Did you end up being with her, or did that pass away, I guess?
After a couple of years, we both went on with our lives, but we've got a 12-year-old child out of it. So
well,
an amazing story, I thought. I mean, man, they were prepared to do whatever was necessary, and they couldn't find me.
Well, you know what? Your guardian angel was cloaking you that time. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with Fright Night Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, don't miss out on this incredible offer. You know, a couple years ago, we offered a classic Malachi Martin tape, an Art Bell interview. This was called Perfect Possession, along with an After Dark subscription. Well, we found another Malachi Martin interview, and we're offering that to you for free, too. But we're going to put them both together. You're going to get a double free CD package. You just pay shipping and handling. But you do have to get the After Dark newsletter, and you know what? That's not all bad. So take advantage of it. Get the incredibly two free CDs and the After Dark newsletter when you subscribe to that by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Well, the parties are still continuing into the wee hours here in St. Louis after the St. Louis Cardinals defeated the Detroit Tigers, winning the 2006 World Series. The Cardinals played just superbly. And, you know, the Tigers, you can take nothing away from their effort. Cinderella season after coming back, losing so many games last year. They did a great job as well. And, you know, I couldn't lose. You know, I was born in Detroit, live in St. Louis, live in L.A. If the Dodgers had made it, it didn't matter. I can't lose the World Series. It's just a matter of who was going to win. It was almost like betting on every horse in a race. You just don't know which one was going to win. Let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, Fright Night. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Kathy from Seattle.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Hey, it was so great to meet you up here in Seattle at the book signing.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
That was fun, and it was so nice of you to call my sister Carol, too.
Oh, okay. Now I remember.
That was really fun. She thinks I'm the greatest sister ever now, so.
Well, you were the greatest sister ever before that.
That's funny. Well, okay, so what I wanted to tell you is...
Hold on. Let's explain a little bit, though, to people who are on the outside and they don't know what happens. I'll let you say it. Go ahead. We're in Seattle. We're at the book signing. You come up to the table. Go ahead.
Right. I came up to the table, and I was so bummed because my sister is a huge Coast to Coast fan, and she couldn't be there because she had to go see her daughter perform her first guitar performance in public. And so Tom says, well, why don't we call her? So we tried and tried to call her, and we couldn't get through because it was like a dead zone in the bookstore. So later that night, she sees that she's got all these phone calls on her phone at home. So she calls, and Tom answers. and then Tom puts you on the phone for her.
How cool is that for everybody?
That was really fun. That was really fun.
Okay. Well, go ahead now with your story.
Okay. This happened when my daughter was 18 months old, and we had taken her out of her crib because she kept trying to climb out, and we didn't want her to hurt herself. So we put a mattress on the floor in her bedroom. But then she started wandering the house at night, and I didn't like that either. So we put up this baby gate. You know, those wooden baby gates that you latch down.
As a matter of fact, I've used those for puppies, too. Same kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it never fit right in the doorway. And so all you had to do was lean against it, put any weight on it at all, and it would fall. And that had happened on a couple of occasions. She had leaned against it. She always has this teddy bear with her wrapped in both of her arms. And so she had leaned against it, and she had fallen into the hallway. So the thing was, you know, basically worthless. It was like, you know, a visual deterrent, you know. So this one night she was crying and crying and crying. And I thought, okay, maybe she'll go back to sleep. And she never did, you know. So I ended up having to get up. And her bedroom is right across from my bedroom. So I open the door, and she is at my eye level. I am staring her in the face. You know, she's 18 months old. She's barely taller than the gate. And this kid is looking at me, you know, dead on in the eye. And as soon as my brain registered, okay, this is weird, she lunges forward and falls into the hallway. And she's crying. She's upset. You know, she's got both of her arms wrapped around her teddy bear, and she runs down the hall. So, of course, my attention is on her. So I follow her down there. But the whole time I'm thinking, what the heck? What the heck could she have pushed over to the doorway that she was standing on? You know, so the whole time I'm trying to calm her down, I'm racking my brain going, what the heck was in her bedroom that she was able to do that, you know?
And at 18 months.
Right.
It's incredible. So
it wasn't until I, you know, got her calmed down and took her back down to the bedroom and looked in her room, and there was nothing there for her to be standing on.
How'd she get up there? She
float? I don't know. I've been racking my brain for 20 years trying to figure this out. She's 19 now.
Is she Houdini?
I don't know. But she was at my eye level, staring me in the eye with both of her arms wrapped around her teddy bear. And there was nothing that she climbed up on. And then she falls into the hallway. And like I said, the gate, all you had to do was touch it, and the thing would fall over.
This little kid had the ability to levitate.
I don't know. And it's just, that launched us on 20 years of weird stuff with her. I mean, she sees things in mirrors. And I remember I was changing her diaper once, and she's looking up over my shoulder, and she's asking me who the old man is.
Who's kind of peering down on everybody?
Right. And she would ask me that a lot. She goes, Mom, who's that old man?
Was it Grandpa?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I never thought to show her pictures or anything.
Sounds like she's got magic.
I don't know. It was strange. It was strange. And she would hold entire conversations with people in her bedroom. And I'd be listening, you know, in the hallway. And then I would go in and I'd say, you know, sweetie, who are you talking to? And she said she was talking to the skeleton. And she was telling it to stay on its side of the room.
That is amazing.
It was very strange.
She levitated. I mean, if you couldn't find a table or something small. And even if there was something, how does a little 18-month-old pull it over there and do that? I mean, that's pretty smart.
Especially when she's got her arms wrapped around her teddy bear.
Yes.
She was clutching her teddy bear to her chest when I saw her.
Possibility number two. She didn't levitate, but some entity carried her over.
Okay, this is also... My sister has got a friend who is psychic, and we ran this by her at one point, and she said that the lady that used to live in our house, she passed away in this house, and she said the lady that lived in this house was just trying to help her get to her mother.
Bingo. That had to be it.
It was very weird. And she said she had woken me up on a couple of occasions when she needed me during the night. And I remember waking up, like, just, you know, bolt upright in bed a couple times and just knowing that I needed to go and attend to her. It was very, very weird. But
we have to toss out the levitation theory.
And go with the entity theory.
you got that right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Hello there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm on. Okay.
You're on. It is your turn.
Thank you, George. I've been listening to your show for many years, and I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would call in. But 4 nights ago, I'm an ex-Army Ranger.
Okay.
4 nights ago, I'm laying in my bed. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I work nights in the emergency room. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking about some things, and all of a sudden, I hear a sliding sound across a counter in my kitchen, like someone's taking my computer off of the computer desk. And I said, someone bypassed the alarm system, and they're stealing my computer. And I sat up, and I'm listening, and I hear it slide again. And as I get out of bed, and I'm shaking now thinking about it, and people are going to laugh. Everyone's laughed at me so far. I hear this horrible screeching like a hag, like an old lady, screaming Latin words. And I sat there, and my first thought was, I have a crazy woman stealing my computer. And so I'm behind my bedroom door, and I grab my weapon, and I walk out, and there's nothing in the room. We keep a little kitchen light on. I look at the computer. The computer shuts down in front of me. Nothing else shut off. Nothing else. You know, if you get a power surge, your clock's in your bedroom, flash.
Everything goes, yeah.
Nothing. It's just sat there. And I said, now what do I do? And how do I battle this? And then the computer came back on. Now, I had an electrician come over to my house, and I had him check everything out. And he said, if you have a surge, if it's through the whole house, it's going to be through the whole house. This is my computer is on a breaker so that if it trips, you have to manually reset it. And to this day, I mean, it happened 4 nights ago, and it was actually 5:28 in the morning. And my wife laughs at me. She says, keep this to yourself, you know. But I felt like I would like to call in and tell somebody about it.
What happened?
So that was it, and I don't have an answer. Maybe
no, I don't have one for you either. You know what? And that sometimes might be the best thing, not to have an answer to things that are just so strange, so mysterious. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Okay. This is John from New York. I just have a little story, a little spooky story my sister told me a few years ago.
Okay.
She used to have neighbors across the street. They used to have an autistic son, 15 years old, that died in a house.
Now,
I don't have any details on that, but a new couple moved in a few years after that, and they had a two-year-old daughter. Now, my sister used to go, you know, friendly neighbors talk about it. And the couple always used to, oh, my cigarettes are always missing, my keys are missing. It's like something's always missing. So my sister told her exactly what happened, that an autistic boy did die in the house years ago. But the scariest thing is that she stays, and the two-year-old stays in the same room as... Oh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, somebody's trying to call you, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the two-year-old's in the same room as the autistic boy used to be. So they would wake up the parents the next morning and see toys all over the floor. So
yeah.
It was like, all right, that's enough. You know, what's going on? Stop doing that. You're supposed to be sleeping. They put it so hard, there's no way in the world the two-year-old could have got to them. The next morning, the toys would still be all over the floor. So now you're figuring, the intelligence of this kid, you know, he's like a five-year-old and, you know, he's probably trying to play with this little girl. Sounds freaky, but that's the mentality of somebody that's autistic. So is that kind of freaky or what?
That is freaky. Did they ever figure it out?
No, it stopped. For some reason, it just stopped. And then it never happened. It hasn't happened in a while now. But that story, I tell you, I went in that house a few times with my sister because she deals with the African greys. She breeds them.
Right, great parents.
Yeah, and I walked through there, and I tell you, I love the haunted stuff. But I tell you, you do feel a little nervous going in there. You feel like something's actually there. You actually have that spooky feeling.
Was it colder? Did you feel a cold feeling?
No, I didn't feel nothing like that. It's just, you always feel like somebody's like right behind you. Somebody's like, you know, just like hanging over you. It feels like you shouldn't be there. Like you're intruding. That's what it feels like. My sister feels the same thing. And my brother-in-law too. It's like you feel like you shouldn't be there. You got that weird feeling. But I can't explain that.
I almost saw my very first shadow person. I've seen the shadow rodents, but whatever it was, it happened so fast. I can't categorize it as a shadow person, but I mean, it was like a blur. And I'm not talking about out of the side of your eyes type thing. This thing just went right past me in front, right against the wall. And you know what? It just happened so fast, and I blinked. I missed it, so I don't know what it was, but that was close. Close call for me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there, George. This is Tony from Laredo.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, check this out. When I was a kid, me and my brother, we were clowning around, and these girls used to live down the street, and they came over with their doll. And it was one of those dolls, you know, it was actually a little wolf with bibs and, you know, the kind of doll that you pull the string and it talks.
Yeah.
So, me and my brother Manny, right? You know, we were kids. We were about 11. I was about 11. He was about 13. And we would pull the string, and we start hitting the doll. And the doll goes, "Ouch!"
Oh, so, you know, come on!
Laughed, you know, we laughed. And, you know, we did a couple more times, and it kept doing. It kept going, "Ouch!" You know, because it would say some stupid phrase, but when we would hit it, it would say, "Ouch!" So we kept doing it, and then it finally said, "Ouch! That hurts." So we even laughed even more, right? We were having a great time. So we did like 3-4 times. About the fifth time that we do it, the doll said, "Ouch, don't do that."
Oh, man.
I tell you what, we threw the doll at the little girl. Her name was Sandy. We threw the doll at her. Get the hell out.
did her eyes open up, or was she looking at you?
No. It was a wolf. It was a wolf with like bib, like a engineer. You know, but it's
like a wolf.
Yeah, it was a wolf doll, you know.
Oh, okay.
But it's like when we would pull the string, you know, it's like we would hit it. You know, when the doll said, don't do that.
I thought it was like one of those little chatty Kathy dolls. Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Matthew Alton. I'm calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Hello, Matthew.
And I got a story about a Ouija board.
Another Ouija board.
Yeah, this is a bad one, though.
What happened to you?
me and my friends were in a gymnasium, like to half the size of a gymnasium, and the doors were all, you know, not open or nothing, but they were pretty much, you know, they were open, they weren't closed or nothing. We started playing, and something bad happened where the door slammed shut, and they slammed shut, and then something told us that we were talking to a demon, and I got hit in the head by a candle that was lit, and
lucky it didn't burn you up, Matthew.
Yeah, I know. And we went to the door and tried to open the door. The door was locked. We tried opening the lock that was on the inside of the door, and that still didn't work. The next day, we pretty much tried to take the Ouija board outside and burn it. That did not work. So we tried ripping it in half with a knife, you know, cutting it.
Yeah.
That didn't work. So pretty much what we did is we threw it away. Well, a week later, it appears in our closet.
It's just sitting there?
It comes back. It reappeared in our house.
How'd you finally get rid of it, Matthew?
I moved to another state.
You just left the house?
Pretty much. Me and my friends just said, okay, we're going to be done with this and just moved to another state, and it hasn't followed me since. It's been about a year since it happened.
And you basically left the Ouija board in that house?
Yep. Got tired of it.
I pity the people who moved in there after you.
Well, I hope they have fun with it, because I sure as hell didn't have any fun with it.
Ouija board stories. There are many in there. I tell you what, we're going to continue with another hour of Fright Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's simple. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. Those of you in the greater Los Angeles area, on November 17, we're going to have a live program on the Queen Mary, the haunted Queen Mary. And then a book signing will be at 1 o'clock on Saturday, November 18th, right after that. Monday, our guest on Coast to Coast is none other than Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's written a new book called The Encyclopedia of Magic and Alchemy. And then Tuesday night on Halloween, join us for Art Bell's live 2006 annual Ghost to Ghost show right here and exclusively on Coast to Coast AM.